Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another edition of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and we've got a couple of Ohio teams that are red hot going into the playoffs. Dylan Tyrer joins us from the Columbus Blue Jackets to talk about the acquisition of right wing Connor Garland and how he has taken the ice by storm in Columbus since his arrival. And then Cavs radio play-by-play announcer Tim Elkhorn joins us to talk about the return of Max Strus, injuries, and how things look going into the playoffs for the Cleveland Cavaliers, plus how the team is investing in the city of Cleveland outside of the arena. All that and more from our Locked On regulars here on the Ohio News Network. Right wing Connor Garland has taken the ice by storm in Columbus since arriving from Vancouver. Blue Jackets media guru Dylan Tyrer joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine to discuss how this new addition is already making waves. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Jay. Very excited to talk about the newest Blue Jacket.
Dude, this looks like a lopsided trade. Why did the Canucks agree to this?
Well, Vancouver is entering what looks to be a pretty serious rebuild. They traded one of the best defensemen in the NHL, Quinn Hughes, who I'm sure everybody is aware of from starring at the Olympic Games. They traded him earlier this season to the Minnesota Wild. That signaled, okay, we're going to change things up with this group. They unloaded Connor Garland, who's been a good player throughout his NHL career. They got draft picks from the Blue Jackets in return. Connor Garland is tied up. He's signed for the next 6 years after this one. So that played a factor in that. They don't want to have a guy that, of course, wants to be competing, trying to win while they're rebuilding. Now, so it's good for Connor Garland in that regard. That's why Vancouver did it. It works out for the Blue Jackets.
So do you think Vancouver gave up on him because he was scoreless in 20 games? Or was this part of a longer-term, you know, concept?
No, it's definitely a longer-term thing. You kind of look at the guys that you know you're willing to part ways with at this point in the season. Vancouver has been one of the worst teams in the NHL this year, and you say, okay, where are we right now? Are we going to be competitive in the next few years? Are we going to tear this thing down? Are we trying to get younger? That's definitely where they are. They're trying to tear it down. They're trying to get younger. And because Connor Garland has trade value, because he's a good player, and because he has term on his contract, it makes him a valuable asset for other teams. So that's what Vancouver's thinking. He's one of the guys that they got something for, that they could get something for. So that's why they did that deal. I don't really think it had anything to do with his numbers being down this year, per se, because really everybody on Vancouver's numbers are down this season. So again, happy it worked out for the Blue Jackets.
Well, when Connor hit the ice, I thought it was going to melt. He is hot, hot, hot right now. What has changed in his game from his time with Vancouver to now? Is it just that he has the support staff?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing with better players, and he's also playing on a team that is playing for something, right? He had talked about, you know, mentally struggling with, hey, these final 20 games in Vancouver, we're not playing for something. You got to figure out a way to motivate yourself for those hockey games. Now he's got that built-in motivation playing for the Blue Jackets. He is hungry to get back to the playoffs, as is everybody else on the Blue Jackets. So you put in that motivation factor and add just the fact that he's playing with some better players and probably a little bit better of a role for him. I think that has unlocked his game, and he's also trying to prove himself, right? Like, he's in a brand new place, playing for a brand new coach, playing with brand new teammates. He wants to prove what he's capable of, and man, it looks like he's been shot out of a cannon, no pun intended.
No, you're absolutely right about that. But what I'm curious to know is, when you've got a team that's playing so well under a new coach, I mean, literally, it's like night and day behind and between, you know, Dean Evason and Rick Bonus, and then you bring in somebody else of a star caliber, doesn't that offset the balance in the locker room? Or is it just like, oh my God, this is great, you know, come join the team?
Well, that's the thing. Connor Garland's not really a star in the NHL. He was playing a big role in Vancouver. He He's been a good player throughout his career. You know, 20 goals, 30 assists a season for 50 points. That's about his average over 82 games. So that's not a star in the league, but it's a very good player in the league. And that was a big reason the Blue Jackets brought him in, because they thought he would be a fit. You know, there's familiarity between Connor Garland and Zach Werenski, familiarity between Connor Garland and Matthew Olivier. Chris Clark, the Blue Jackets assistant general manager, is familiar with Connor Garland. Don Waddell, being around USA Hockey, I'm sure has been familiar with Connor Garland, who's an American. So they knew this guy off the ice, what he's like in the room. It's not like he's a prima donna by any means. They felt that he would be a fit with the Columbus Blue Jackets culturally in that dressing room and on the ice. And so far, so good. That was the number one thing that the players talked about when they acquired Connor Garland, not that, oh my God, this guy is going to help us so much on the ice. No, it was, he's a perfect fit in the locker room, and we know he's going to help us on the ice. So that was an early good sign from the other guys in the Blue Jackets dressing room, and I think now you're seeing that fit just showcase itself on the ice.
Zach Werenski was pretty verbal about Connor. Here's what he had to say.
Plays the right way. He competes. He works extremely hard in battles. He's a smaller guy, but he doesn't play like it, and I think that brings everyone else into the fight. I think he's added a jolt to that line that he's on. Obviously the goals, but just the way he plays, the sticks, the back checks, the forecheck. I mean, he's all over the place making plays and playing hard, and you can never have enough of that.
He was very happy that Don Waddell went out and made the trade. You know, he said that it shows the locker room that the Blue Jackets believe in them, that, you know, that they believe in going for it this year, things like that. So it helps a team that's trying to make a push. That always is an added bonus. And Zach just also talked about the guy that Connor Garland is, that he's a great person. He played with him at the World Championships a couple of years ago, winning gold. And he said that they kind of became fast friends there. Like, Connor Garland didn't know a whole lot about Zach Werenski. Zach didn't know a whole lot about Connor. But they started to become friends at the World Championship. And I know, you know, Zach is obviously a big voice in the Blue Jackets dressing room. So if this guy is saying, hey, Connor is going to be a culture fit, he's going to be a fit on the ice, that's really, really good. And like I said, I think all of that is showcasing itself right now. Garland is off to just a great start with the Blue Jackets.
And doesn't it also take a little bit of the pressure off the defense in terms of scoring?
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, the Blue Jackets definitely want to lock things down defensively. In Garland's first couple of games, they gave up too many goals, but they also scored 4 goals in those games. But when you have a guy like that he's a hound on the puck. That's another thing about Garland. It's not just that he's scoring goals right now. He causes issues for the other team, particularly when it comes to forechecking for the Blue Jackets. So it's hard to play against. And in saying that, it means he's going to help the Blue Jackets have the puck more. And when you have the puck more, you defend less. So that certainly benefits the Blue Jackets defensively. And as far as it goes with his scoring touch, it's always great to have another guy that can contribute in the lineup. It just helps bolster the depth for the Blue Jackets. And I think we're going to see that more down the stretch. If this team makes the playoffs, depth is always huge when it comes to playing playoff games. So I think Garland will benefit them in that way, too.
We're going to come back to you in a couple of weeks and see if that's exactly what happens. And there is more Ohio Sports Magazine on the way on the Ohio News Network.
Hey, Timmy, we're in the finals for Pizza Madness.
Oh, Mikey, we've got a classic matchup. We've got Adriatico's taking on Pizza House for all the marbles.
Vote now, pizzamadness.pizza, brought to you by our friends at Billiards Plus.
Yay, pizza.
Get an ego.
Strike, fires, hurricanes, earthquakes, directly leave. Delivers. No politics, no red tape. Direct Relief is a lifeline to people in crisis. So check them out at directrelief.org. And if you can, donate.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned.
They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Van is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Van. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have a solid hold on the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference as the regular season winds down and we head toward the playoffs. Cavs radio play-by-play announcer Tim Alcorn joins us now to talk some Cavs basketball. Welcome, my friend.
Jay, as always, great to talk to you. Looking forward to our chat.
Absolutely. Well, the big news, as we all know, is Max Strus is back. He was impressive in his debut against Dallas, despite the fact that the team actually lost the game. What does Max bring to the table upon his return?
Oh, there's so much, Jay. As Kenny Atkinson likes to say, Max is a connector. He makes everybody around him better. He plays with a relentless energy. He's a sharp shooter as far as the three ball is concerned. So both under the floors, big contributions. Now, again, as you said, wind down the regular season, he'll need to get himself acclimated to James Harden and Dennis Schroeder and Keon Ellis and really his teammates from last year. Of course, he missed 67 games this year, but he's going to be a huge addition to this team, not only in the stretch run, but certainly come postseason basketball.
I was not expecting him to explode for 24, and I think if I read the stats correctly, he was perfect on his threes.
Well, 6 of 7, so that's doggone near perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, he came out and it certainly looked like he had played in 67 games, not missed 67 games. And, you know, that's Max Strus, though. He was not going to come back until he, and obviously the training staff, felt he was 100%. And then he was going to be able to contribute. And he's going to do that. And again, a big piece for this Cavalier team, not just on the floor, Jay, but keep in mind, Max came from Miami, where he had been to the finals with the Miami Heat. They lost in the finals to Denver, but he has that championship pedigree and that mentality of getting through that playoff grind. And so it's just going to be a huge addition for the team.
You know, as I look at the roster, and I mean A to Z, it's just packed with talent. I can't remember a Cavs roster that was this heavy. How will Kenny Atkinson balance all of this talent as the team heads into the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a great problem to have, because when you get to the playoffs, you're going to play your starters more minutes. It's just common sense that you want your best players on the floor for as many minutes as they can go, which in turn then shortens your bench. But I think the way Kenny's going to approach it, keep in mind he comes from that Steve Kerr coaching tree. He's going to base the rotations on the specific matchup. So if you're playing X team in the first round, the rotation could be different than if you're playing Y team in the second round. He'll base it on matchup. He'll base it on personnel. So, it usually shortens to about 8, maybe 9 guys. But in one round, that 8 could be different than the second round, which could be 9 or 10 guys.
Now, injuries have plagued this team year after year after year, and it has forced Kenny Atkinson to bring 17 starting lineups and counting to the table so far. Is it difficult for players to adjust when the lineup keeps changing like that night after night?
Sure. And again, it's no fault of Kenny's. It's no fault of the players. Injuries happen. But yeah, it is challenging because different guys like the ball in different spots, and different guys may, you know, play in a different manner than when somebody else is on the floor. So Dean Wade is different than a Naquan Tomlin, who's different than Jalen Tyson. So that chemistry doesn't form quite as smoothly as when you've got the same guys playing the same rotation. night in and night out. And that's why this stretch run is so critical. Get everybody healthy, get those rotations aligned, and get everybody comfortable with not only their role, but who they're playing with on the floor.
Now, in the second Dallas game, because we know they won the first one, but in the second game, James Harden just seemed to be lost. He didn't seem to be himself until very late in the game. What was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I'm sure James will tell you that he didn't have the performance in that second game that he would like to have had. And again, that was just a real stinker for the Cavs. There's no no way to sugarcoat that. The Cavaliers just didn't play well in that game. And aside from Max Strus, he was truly the bright spot. So, but listen, James Harden is one of the all-time great 17-year vet, 75th anniversary team. When the lights shine the brightest, James Harden will be ready. And so I think that was just, an anomaly as far as the season is concerned with James Harden.
Do you think that Strus's presence on the court may have had something to do with that?
Yeah, I don't know about that, Jay. I think, again, it was just an off afternoon for James Harden. It was an off afternoon for a lot of guys. They just didn't play well. They didn't answer the bell. And so, again, they've got a big week coming up. They've got some home games with Orlando and Miami, and those teams are really in the thick of things as far as that Eastern Conference playoff chase is concerned. So the Cavs know the importance of this final few weeks. They've got to win ball games. They've got to maintain that hold on the number four spot, hopefully maybe even move up a little bit. But you don't want to fall in any lower than four because you want to have home court in that first round.
Well, and it looks like, I mean, if the season were to end right now, we'd be playing Orlando, right? Possibly.
Correct.
Yeah.
But again, there's so much fluidity there. That 5, 6, 7. I mean, you wake up tomorrow morning, it could be different than what it is this morning. And 48 hours from now, it could be different than that. I mean, those teams are so tightly bunched that every game becomes a critical game.
What's happening with Jared Allen?
Well, hopefully Jared, again, will be healthy coming down the stretch and certainly for playoff time. He was playing perhaps the very best basketball of his career before that tendonitis hit. So let's hope Jared Allen is 100% and ready to go come postseason, because without Jared on the floor, you can see a difference with this Cavalier basketball team.
Absolutely. And Harden feeds Jared so well. It's just a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, the chemistry that those two developed in such a short period of time from when James came over. But he's used to working with big men, and especially on the pick and roll and the lob. And Jared Allen bought into that and became acclimated to that very, very quickly. So, yeah, that's a combination the Cavs are going to want to have clicking on all cylinders when they get to postseason basketball.
All right, when we come back to Ohio Sports Magazine, we'll continue our conversation with Tim Alcorn, and we'll focus on the playoffs, plus talk about something new near the arena that's coming up. All that coming up next on the Ohio News Network.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Sophia Michael from Lynchburg Clay High School, for her commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
I feel like competing in activities and sports has really shown the competitive side of me. I really like to compete.
Sophia brings that same attitude to her work in FFA.
I show lambs and goats at state fair and at county fair. I consider that to be my sport. That is my favorite to do, to compete at. It teaches me responsibility and lets me be competitive, and it really allows me to and has created me to have a really good work ethic.
All of that carries over to agriculture.
It has allowed me to grow as a person and become the person I am today, aside from just showing animals, but the responsibilities it takes to show animals, meeting new friends, and then having the work ethic to go out in the real world and be successful.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Flexible, secure, fun. Oh, and great pay, too. Are you not sure what you want to do for a career? Or are you thinking of changing careers? Being a dental hygienist or dental assistant may be the perfect fit for you and provides all of these perks plus more. Talk with a dentist in your community or visit oda.org to learn more. Become a valuable member of the dental team and start helping people love their smile. This message is brought to you by the members of the Ohio Dental Association.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Springtime is here, and you know what that means? It's time for mulch madness. Did you know that too much mulch is bad for trees and shrubs? 2 inches of mulch is plenty. Any more and you risk causing roots to grow up and around trunks, which increases unhealthy stress, shortens tree life, and even keeps moisture from getting down to tree roots. To find out more about mulch madness, or to find a certified arborist near you, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
This is Pause Before You Play, and it's time for more game day picks from local sports fans. You're on the air. Who you got?
Actually, I'm not betting. Just chilling and watching the game.
I know that move. A pause. Sounds like you've got a winning strategy.
Exactly. After I set limits and recognized the risk, I knew it was time to stop.
Now that is responsible betting, folks. Sports are fast. Betting shouldn't be. Make a plan at pausebeforeyouplay.org. That's pausebeforeyouplay.org.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Talking Cleveland Cavaliers basketball with Wine and Gold radio man Tim Alcorn, and the Cavs are headed to the playoffs. I cannot wait.
Nor can I. It's been a long season. It's been a grind. And Jay, we mentioned in the first segment all the lineup configurations that Kenny Atkinson has had to utilize. And yet, I think Kenny deserves a tremendous amount of credit because he's kept this team together. And then, they had their ups and downs, and he didn't lose the team when they had some of those down periods, and has been able to manage this team with the trade acquisitions of Keon Ellis and Dennis Schroeder and, of course, James Harden. And to have the Cavs sitting where they're sitting right now, I think Kenny's done a masterful job, and I think they're set up to have a lot of postseason success.
All right, so let's get the whiteboard out, get the pen, the X's and O's. What does this team really need to do to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? Because that's the goal.
Yeah, I think Kenny has said this repeatedly. It's going to be at the defensive end. Listen, the Cavs, especially since the acquisition of Harden and Schroeder and Ellis that I just mentioned, they've been a top five offensive team. And again, especially since those three were added. So it's not going to be a problem at the offensive end. The game will slow down and they'll run into tougher defenses, but it's going to be at the defensive end. And that's been a problem spot for the Cavs all year. Now, again, as of late, there have been some key guys that have been missing. But you get into postseason basketball, and Jay and your listeners will know this as well as anybody. It becomes possession by possession, and every possession is gold. And you've got to lock down defensively. And the Cavs have had their lapses there this year. So their postseason success will depend upon how well they defend.
So in your opinion, looking at the roster, who are our gold star defenders?
Well, it starts with Evan Mobley, of course, last year's defensive player of the year in the entire NBA. So he's the linchpin. I also think a healthy Jared Allen defending the rim, defending the paint will be huge. The Cavs did get bigger in the backcourt, bringing James Harden in. So they have wing defenders. But a guy that gets overlooked so often, Jay, because he doesn't rack up huge stats numbers-wise as far as points and rebounds and that sort of thing. But Kenny will tell you he's one of the top two or three defenders, not only on the Cavs, but perhaps in the conference, and that's Dean Wade. And Dean normally gets put on the other team's best offensive player. He can go out, he can defend the wing, he's got that length. So I would think Allen, Mobley, Dean Wade, those guys are going to have to anchor the defense.
Now, we talked about injuries in the first segment, and obviously we've been tender footing to make sure that we don't have any more injuries before the playoffs. Is there any injury that we can't overcome? Because as we said earlier, this bench is deep.
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, certainly to me, and again, I'm not Kenny Atkinson, but as I would look at it, I just don't think you could afford to lose a Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, you get into those postseason games, and as I said, it becomes a possession-by-possession game. And if you're coming down to the final few possessions, you want your best player to have the ball in his hands. And for the Cavaliers, that's Donovan Mitchell. So, yeah, that would be a tough one to overcome.
To what degree will rookies like Jalen Tyson, who is just having an outstanding rookie season, will he be used in postseason play, do you think?
Absolutely. I think he's going to be a key component off that Cavalier bench. Tyson, again, as you said, from year one to year two, has made just a tremendous leap in his game. He's just been outstanding. He can knock down three balls. He's been in the top five in the Eastern, or excuse me, in the NBA, top five in the NBA all season long with three ball percentage. So, yeah, and as we talked about earlier, it's going to be a nice problem to have for Kenny Atkinson as far as finding playing time for this very deep bench. But I think Jalen Tyson will absolutely be a part of that.
Now, I can't believe that we won the championship 10 years ago. It just seems like yesterday to me. And the Cavs are in the process of building a monument to that championship outside the arena. What is it? What can we expect to see? And when will it be ready?
Yeah, it's a couple of years down the road yet, but it's going to be absolutely fabulous. And again, this speaks volumes to the investment and to the interest that Dan Gilbert, the Cavaliers chairman, has put not only into the Cavaliers, but into the Cleveland area. And so, as you said, it's going to be an area designed to really honor that 2016 team and what they were able to do. I think it gets lost that they were the only team to rally from 3-1 down and get two of those final three wins on the road. I think people tend to forget about that and just what a monumental effort that was and an incredible accomplishment. So they deserve their very special spot in Cleveland. And I think it's something that the fans are truly going to enjoy. I think it's something that will stand the test of time. And certainly that championship, as I said, the way it was won, which often gets overlooked, coming back from 3-1 down, I think that's something that certainly deserves to be honored. And this is going to be a very, very special spot.
So you take that special spot along with the brand new practice facility that's being built, and then the entrance of the Cleveland, not sure what the name's going to be, WNBA team in 2028. And man, this group has made a giant exclamation point in 72 font to basketball in Cleveland.
Oh, there's no doubt. And don't forget Cosm. That's coming down the road as well. So, as I said, the investment that Dan Gilbert and his family have made in Cleveland has simply been extraordinary. And he truly feels, and the organization truly feels, that Cleveland, we talked about the 2016 championship team and how their accomplishment gets overlooked somewhat. They were down 3-1. Dan Gilbert and the organization feels that Cleveland is often overlooked as one of the top cities in the country. And they're just continuing to invest and pour resources into Cleveland to really enhance not only what it already is, but make it become certainly more visible as one of the top cities in the country. And as you said, the training facility, the spot for the 2016 team that they'll be recognized, and of course, as you said, the WNBA team coming in 2028, it's just going to be extraordinary.
All right, we want to thank Tim Alcorn and say, come on, Cavs, as we take this time out on the court. And more Ohio Sports Magazine straight ahead on the Ohio News Network.
Jackets hit the road for a battle with the Islanders. Live fan coverage starts Sunday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
He's a husband, a dad.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Hey, are you driving high right now? You might be, because a whole lot of people do. They say marijuana makes them a better driver, more careful, more focused. That's probably what the guy who killed a 4-year-old thought. And now, he's in prison. You see, no matter what you tell yourself, if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for your Sunday, but it's going to be a very warm one as we reach the mid-80s for the afternoon, calling for a high around 84 degrees with a record high being 85 set back in 2012. Now we are going to be tracking a cold front building in, and that's going to kick off some showers and thunderstorms later on this evening. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination. This is ONN.
The NCAA men's basketball tournament began earlier this week in Dayton with 4 play-in games at the UD Arena on the campus of the University of Dayton. Miami of Ohio advanced out of the first 4 with an 89-79 win over Southern Methodist. The Redhawks' record bumped up to 32-1. Miami joined Ohio State, Wright State, and Akron as the 4 Ohio schools in the round of 64. Florida's your defending national champion. The Gators have one of 4 top seeds in the tournament. Paul Feinbaum covers college athletics for ESPN. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus. Paul says the defending champs are the best bet for the SEC to win a national men's basketball championship in 2026.
I mean, Florida is a comfortable pick. I think Arkansas is a trendy pick, although I will say this out loud, but don't quote me. I don't trust Calipari in the NCAA. The experts tell me, and I'm not one, that he probably has the most exciting first 8. But in the NCAA tournament, you need more than 8 players, and he doesn't have that. The biggest story down here, as you can imagine, I'm in Alabama today, has been Aiden Holloway, somebody that most of you have never heard of, but he's Alabama's second leading scorer. He's their number one 3-point shooter, and he got busted on Monday for just a minor deal, having about 2 pounds of marijuana in his apartment with paraphernalia and all kinds of things. So that has been quite the conversation.
Well, Paul, and it's been such a quiet tenure the last couple of years for Nate Oates.
Yeah.
Really no issues down there at all.
No, he had a kid. There I go again, slipping into the old student-athlete kid deal. He had 2 players on his team 3 years ago when he had the number one team in the country. One is still awaiting capital murder. The other one, Brandon Miller, somehow was at the scene, got away without ever missing a practice, and, of course, is playing in the NBA now. He had the Bediako case a few weeks ago, the G League player, and now this. And Nate Oates said Monday about the player with all the pot. He's our guy. whatever that means.
Let's stay there. You're in Alabama because I do some NFL stuff as well. I hear a lot about Ty Simpson, and people will say to me, what do you think about Ty Simpson? Could Ty Simpson go in the first half of the first round? And I'm quick to say, look, I didn't see a lot of Ty Simpson last year. Obviously, I saw his last game, saw one of the games in September. I can't remember which exactly one it was, but watched that from start to finish, but certainly was aware. When you hear people, you obviously probably watched every Alabama game this season, certainly the ones that mattered. What do you make of, and I know this isn't, not pretending that you're Mel Kiper, but just in terms of what you've observed from Simpson in terms of him being worthy of a first round pick?
I think he's a first round pick. What I don't believe is all this ESPN morning show stuff about, you know, he's better than Mendoza. I didn't see that. I saw them on the same field together. One was clearly superior. The unknown about Ty Simpson is this. He did not have a good offensive line, and he had a terrible running game. So he was often hurried. NFL scouts at the combine can see these things where you can't really see it in real time. He was fantastic against the Louisiana Techs. He was fantastic against Wisconsin, which was pretty much the same as Louisiana Tech. But he was not great against the elite teams.
It's always so hard to try to identify those. Your friend and mine, Bruce Feldman, put out his list of top 25 coaches. He had Cignetti number one on the list. Kirby was two. Ryan Day was three, and so forth and so on. And he takes in the last 4 or 5 years. Which coach would you rank number one, not based on what's happened the last 4 or 5 years down there, but in terms of if you were a fat cat booster at fill-in-the-blank SEC school, and I could pick any coach I want to handle modern day college football, which one would you pick?
It's predictable, but it's Kirby Smart, because he is far and away the best coach, and you can debate whether he's better than Cignetti or not. I think it really gets interesting after Kirby Smart. Who do you go for? And I think I'm probably going to side with Lane Kiffin, as much as I hate to. but I think he's a change agent in today's world where you have to be able to scratch in the portal. Caleb DeBoer, he was, I think, fourth in Bruce's poll. I just fell over laughing at that. Yeah. He is elite in Washington. I'm sure there's a Big Ten team, maybe even Michigan, he would have done very well at, but he is a terrible fit where he is and will not survive.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
I'm Yolanda.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating Me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
This is ONN.
It's hard to believe, but opening day is this coming Thursday for Major League Baseball. It's like a holiday down in Cincinnati, and we're excited to have Reds baseball back. Steve Offenbaker, he's the host of the Locked On Reds podcast. He joins us now. And Steve, we started to hear some rumors and leaks. Actually, the word from Terry Francona early this week on some of the roster decisions. One of those being the Reds are going to go to start the season with a six-man rotation. So Brandon Williamson, Rhett Lauder, and Chase Burns will all make the team coming out of spring training. How do you feel about the six-man rotation?
Well, it's interesting because they're not going to deploy it like a true six-man rotation. They're actually going to have three pitchers share two spots. So Rhett Lauder, Brandon Williamson, Chase Burns are going to share the fourth and the fifth spot in the rotation. So how that looks is that one of the three guys will piggyback or come into the game after one of the other guys starts. So say Chase Burns starts the game, then Brandon Williamson comes in and finishes. And then the following week, Brandon Williamson starts a game and Rhett Lauder comes in and finishes. So they'll still cover the same amount of innings, but they're only going to use five rotation spots, meaning that Lodolo and Abbott and Singer will all take their regular turns in the rotation.
We also found out that it sounds like Connor Phillips and Will Benson will be making the team out of spring training. That leaves just a few spots left now for the bench and the bullpen. Well, how do we see those final spots shaken out?
I really think that last bench spot's going to go to Nate Lowe. And I think that J.J. Bleday is going to find himself down in Louisville to start the season. He does have options left, so that could happen. As far as the bullpen goes, I think we have one spot now because the starting rotation's taking up an extra spot. And that spot is probably Sam Mulls to lose. If he doesn't nail it down as spring training winds up, you're looking at guys like Luis May, Nicholas, looking at guys like Zach Maxwell, all fighting for that final spot. None of those guys are really quite ready for prime time. They all have a little bit of control issues. They all have great stuff. And when they're on, they're really, really good, but they're not consistent. So I think Sam Mall has an opportunity here to nail down a spot and be able to come north with the team.
J.J. Bleday was one of the Reds' bigger offseason acquisitions, a former first-round pick. He's actually played really well in spring training. Are you kind of surprised? And is it a good thing that we're at this point that he won't make the squad?
You know, I am a little surprised. And, you know, there was some, you know, internal speculation that, you know, he was basically brought in to replace Will Benson. So they've liked what they've seen from Will Benson this spring. And Will Benson's continued to work and tried to evolve his game. But J.J. Bleday, talk about a really good insurance policy to have sitting down in AAA. I am surprised that he didn't make this team, but he will see big league opportunity this year. He's not going to spend the entire season down there. There will be opportunities for him to come up. And the real question is if he can play in such a way when he gets that chance, if he just makes it too hard for the Reds to send him back down.
With the hot spring that Matt McClain has had, it sure looks like the top four spots in the order are locked up, with TJ Friedl leading off, Matt McClain behind him, then Ellie De La Cruz batting third, and Eugenio Suarez back with the team in that cleanup spot. How do you see the rest of the lineup filling out?
Terry Francona has said that he would like to bat Sal Stewart in that fifth spot, which is interesting to me. I think Sal Stewart can be a number five hitter for sure. He could actually be a cleanup hitter once he really settles in and gets comfortable. But I would have preferred to see him start a little bit lower in the lineup. But Terry says he wants to bat in fifth, so it'll be Sal Stewart batting fifth. I think that Spencer Steer will come along and bat sixth after that, whether he's playing on the infield or the outfield. So that gets you through five and six. And then for 7, 8, 9, really, I think you probably go Noelvi Marte at 7 playing in right, and then Tyler Stevenson will be your number 8 guy at catching, and that leaves the ninth spot in the lineup for Key Brian Hayes, who is probably the lightest hitting guy in this lineup, batting ninth, playing third base.
You mentioned Terry Francona, second season with the ball club. They made the playoffs last season, 83 wins. What would you constitute as a successful season here in year two?
I think this team has to win a playoff series. They are no longer the young, scrappy upstarts that are ahead of schedule and surprising people. This team is right square in the middle of their competition window. And I think that for them to consider a season successful, they not only have to make the playoffs, they have to win that series. They have to advance. It's time for this team to take that next step forward. And having made the playoffs last year and not had a really good showing, they really need to move that forward. And that's how they do that. They win a playoff series.
Well, Steve, the wait is almost over. Baseball is back this Thursday. Steve Offenbaker of the Locked On Reds podcast, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
More Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Some foot issues just can't be fixed by those expensive shoe stores or shoe inserts. A foot exam from a doctor of podiatric medicine, who is the medical expert in foot and ankle care, may give solutions after doing a complete foot examination. If you suffer from foot, heel, or ankle pain, let us help you find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association so you know you are being treated by the very best. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
Springtime is here, and you know what that means. It's time for Mulch Madness. Did you know that too much mulch is bad for trees and shrubs? 2 inches of mulch is plenty. Any more and you risk causing roots to grow up and around trunks, which increases unhealthy stress, shortens tree life, and even keeps moisture from getting down to tree roots. To find out more about mulch madness, or to find a certified arborist near you, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
Flexible, secure, fun. Oh, and great pay, too. Are you not sure what you want to do for a career? Or are you thinking of changing careers? Being a dental hygienist or dental assistant may be the perfect fit for you and provides all of these perks, plus more. Talk with a dentist in your community or visit oda.org to learn more. Become a valuable member of the dental team and start helping people love their smile. This message is brought to you by the members of the Ohio Dental Association.
Around here, sunrise only means one thing. It's time to get to work. Whether you're hauling, herding, baling, or raking, Kubota tractors and hay tools are built to make hay any day, including while the sun shines. Learn more about how Kubota is built to get the job done right at KubotaUSA.com. Go to KubotaUSA.com/disclaimers for full disclaimers.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Call me today for an all-cash offer on any of your properties, and we can close within days at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Do you own a property that's outdated and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, I'll buy it. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Would it be convenient for you if you could simply take what you wanted and leave the rest behind? Great, I'll buy it. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Visit us today at TurboTrackRealty.com or give us a call and speak with one of our friendly staff members at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, the guys discuss the offensive line for the Cleveland Browns, centered around the additions made by general manager Andrew Berry, and that they're very happy with them.
Good situation. I think Zion Johnson made a lot of sense, right? Make a commitment to a first-round pedigree. Still 26. He's played as athletic and has only missed 2 games in his career.
Yeah.
So now you get into the older guys. It's risky. You still had to make commitments to them, but it's what you had to do. So again, we'll see where it goes. But in terms of just sensible using money to fill holes that you created, then they're on that track, and we're waiting to see what happens in the receiver room and the quarterback room.
I think it's important, too, to note that they're trying to fix the middle of the line, too. Mm-hmm. I think that's an area where, you know, Shador does – no quarterback doesn't, including Shador, who is a pocket passer, right? You don't want pressure up the middle. It makes things very, very challenging for a guy who wants to be able to sit back there and diagnose, and you have to move, and he's not – he can move a little bit, but he's not the most mobile guy in the world, so it's important for them to do that. I think that they're doing that, and we'll see what happens on the outside of tackle.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were 6. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan. Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Ms. Fernandez, what are those tiny things?
Those are what we call amoebas. You can only see them through a microscope.
Wow. Today's students are tomorrow's great thinkers and innovators. But right now, there's a funding crisis in public schools. Millions of kids go to schools that don't have funding for books, computers, and so much more just because of where they live. You can help change that. Donors Choose is a nonprofit that lets you support students and teachers in your community and beyond. You choose which supplies to support. You could provide first graders with pencils and paper, or other students with their first chapter books, help a music class get a guitar.
You could even supply a classroom like mine with a science project. But what you're really giving is the moment that sparks a brighter tomorrow.
To learn more, please visit donorschoose.org. That's donorschoose.org. Choose students. Shape the future.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Tim Elkhorn and Dylan Tyrer for being our guests on this week's edition of Ohio Sports Magazine. And we thank you for listening. For Colin Berringer, Eric Reeser, and Ryan Baker, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.